Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, for your word is truth. We thank you for Luke's account of your time in the temple. Lord, we thank you for King Solomon's request, and we thank you for the answer he received. And Lord, we especially thank you for St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, where you remind us that you have a plan for us. You have called us. We are yours. We are your children. We are part of the beloved. We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are, as St. Paul said, predestined. We are all called. And Lord, we pray today that as your grace has been lavished upon us in wisdom and in knowledge of the mystery of your will, that as we venture into this year 2016, the year of our Lord, 2016, we would seek you. Seek godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. That we, O Lord, would understand how different it is. And, Lord, you would grant our request. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the end of our lesson last week, which is actually the beginning of our gospel this week, we heard that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor before God. At the end of our lesson today, after his mother and father find him in the temple and he tells them, you know, why were you looking for me anywhere else? I would be where God called me to be in my father's house. It says he returned with them and he was submissive to them. And it says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and, I added something, man. Because he was submissive, because he understood wisdom. He was growing in wisdom. Today, I would like to ask you, as we go into the year of our Lord 2016, what is godly wisdom? Anybody know? How similar is godly wisdom to worldly wisdom? As far as the east is from the west, right? As far as the east is from the west, there's a huge difference. And I don't have a lot of time this morning, but I want to just touch on three very important differences that as we strive, you know, this, in a lot of churches, they're celebrating Epiphany today because they're not going to be blessed to have a service like we are on Wednesday night. So they're having to try to do a lot of things, have the 10th day of Christmas, the second Sunday of Christmas, and Epiphany all pushed into one. I got a little bit more time because I'm going to get to share with you on Wednesday. But today we want to look at that gift of wisdom and ask the question as God reveals his truth to us, we're going to start a series starting on Wednesday evening and going through the next 5 weeks on revealed truth. What does the word epiphany means to be revealed, to be made known? And it says here that in Ephesians that God has in Christ lavished upon us his grace and in wisdom and in knowledge of the mystery of his will. So that's a pretty impressive way of saying we've got a lot going for us. We know a lot more than the people did in the past, right? We've got godly wisdom, not only from the Old Testament, but from the New. And the mysteries of the past are made known in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to open up, we're going to unpack those mysteries. It's called the truth revealed, and we're going to talk about all these basic tenets of the faith that are really important for us to understand as we move forward. These have been revealed to us. God has been privileged to lavish upon us his grace, his wisdom, and his insight. I mean, this is amazing. It's a gift. But I like to talk about the distinctives that when we're seeking God's wisdom, when we're seeking godly wisdom, that are going to be different from the world around us. Jesus had a lot to say about this. Not only did he grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men, but he understood as he grew in this wisdom that there are very distinct differences. First of all, when we're talking about godly wisdom, it's really important to understand some things. When I first moved from British Columbia to Ann Arbor, you might not understand this, but there's a big difference between British Columbia and the mountains to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Kind of a few things, like mountains. But, you know, I was trying to understand the culture, and so I thought, since I had come here for my doctoral work, I had read a lot of books, I had consulted churches, I had done a lot of things. I remember reading about the church I was coming to, and they had done what was called the 40 Days of Purpose. Any of you remember that? 40 Days of Purpose. And they used a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And so I thought, if I'm going to understand the culture, if I'm going to understand the people, then I need to understand, you know, some basic tenets of what people believe, right? And so I picked up the book, which I'd already read several times, and I started reading. And the first thing that came to was the first words of the book. Anybody read the book? Do you know what the first words of the book are? What are the first words of the book? It's not about you. So I thought, okay, here's a good place to start. Because this is the first thing about godly wisdom. It's not about you. Now, the problem was, when I said that, I guess it came across kind of the wrong way. Being a foreigner and all, they figured I didn't understand, and so I got bawled out by the elder behind the reredos and told not to say that anymore. But it's kind of funny. But that's the truth, right? If we're going to seek godly wisdom, the first thing we ought to know is that it's all about God. I like church signs, and in one of the most impressive church signs for Epiphany is wise men and women still seek him. They still seek him. It's not about us, it's about God. Jesus said this when he taught about the most important commandment, right? What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he said. If you want to understand godly wisdom, number one, it's not about us, it's about God. And we have God incarnate, that's the message of Christmas, here with us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So number one, it's about God. The source is different than the world. Number two is the rest of what Jesus said when he said that. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Again, is it about you or me? No. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbors as yourself. God's math is very different. He says, if you want to be a leader, what does he say you got to be? Servant of all. If you want to be first, what does he say you're going to be? Last. Doesn't quite compute. If you went to math class and you said, this is the way I want to operate, what would they say to you? They laugh at you. If you were going into engineering and you said, well, I want to change everything around, I want to turn it upside down, what would they say? Yeah, you wouldn't probably pass. Right? It's different. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the third thing I want you to understand, and this is really important, because this is the most important thing, and I think we see it personified in Solomon and in Jesus from our lessons today. And St. Paul alluded to it when he said, with the fullness of time. I want you to understand something. God's timing is very different, and his results and his timing are very different than ours. How many of us, when we pray, would like an answer right now? Actually, sooner than now, right? I mean, isn't that human nature? We live in an age where, you know, it astonishes me to, I watched a movie not too long ago where they were actually waiting for something to download. I think I mentioned this before. Waiting for something to download with one of those little things that used to be on the screen. Remember before when it was, some of you remember, before when it was dial-up and you had to wait for an image? You had this little thing going on. You could actually go out and play a game and come back in and it was still loading, you know, those days. I mean, things are so fast. today, right? We want things now. And when we pray, we often expect things now. And yet if we're loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, and we're putting ourselves in the back seat, which is really difficult, by the way. I'm not saying this, anything of this is easy. I'm simply saying this is what Jesus said. So shoot him, not me. Then the results are going to take time. God is working. This is the thing that St. Paul wanted to make very clear. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit guarantees our faith until we achieve what we're being prepared for. And what he says we're being prepared for is not the earthly kingdom, which we also appreciate, right, and enjoy when we get healed and we see the power of the Holy Spirit working miracles and doing amazing things. But the ultimate goal is what? Heaven. Did you hear that when Tom was reading it? The ultimate goal in God's timing, in the fullness of time, is that through Jesus Christ, we will get to be with God forever. That's the ultimate goal. And I just want you to think about this. Solomon got asked what he wanted, and he said he wanted to know the difference between good and evil. He wanted to be able to discern. He wanted to have wisdom to lead his people. And it's amazing because God told him he'd have this. Yet he was still young. He still had a little bit of time, but this grew, right? And he eventually had this, and he even had more. But I want you to think about Jesus. Jesus is 12 years old. And when you turn 12 in the Hebrew faith, you are starting to become a man, right? When you turn 12, you're becoming a man. So he goes to the feast in Jerusalem, the Feast of Passover, and he gets there, and he's spending time listening and asking questions. And I want you to notice something when you read the gospel lesson. I don't have time to read it over today, but when you get home, read it, because he's also giving answers. This is a rabbinical thing. When it says that he's asking questions, it really means that he's asking questions because that's the way rabbis taught. They threw the question out there, and then they gave the answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question, okay? And so, you know, you throw out the questions, you listen for some answers, then you teach, right? And so what we see here is he's in the temple. We saw him last week when he was in the temple receiving a blessing from Simeon and Anna. And now we see him this week. He's in the temple again. And it sounds to me, anyways, like if you just read it, just like I read it to you, it sounds like he was almost disrespectful, right? Doesn't it? You know, we know he's without sin. We know that he, you know, but he sounds like a teenager. Sorry, teenagers. Like, what? Duh! Would I be in my father's house? Like, what did you waste 3 days looking around? Why wouldn't I be in my father's house? Like, Dad? Mom? Like, I don't know. Again, I know that he was without sin, so I know he wasn't being disrespectful. But the way it comes across, and I think it's amazing because he says it so matter-of-factly, because he's been growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. And as we grow in wisdom and stature, God changes our perspective, doesn't he? As we grow in that love for God that we're called to have, the first three commandments, today is the 10th day of Christmas, and if you've gotten my emails, I've been sending out Facebook and stuff, and letting people, reminding people what each day of Christmas, if you do the 12 days of Christmas song, what each stands for. Well, today is the 10 Lords of Leaping. Know what it stands for historically? The Big Ten. The Ten Commandments, right? There are actually 10 of them. They don't just call them the Big Ten and they have like 13, but they're actually 10 of them. Really? Three on the first tablet? 7 on the second tablet. Our relationship up with God, our relationship with one another. It's amazing. 10 Lords of Leaping. Yep. 10 commandments. The Big Ten. And it's amazing when you think about it. God has designed this so that we would grow in our relationship up, we grow in our relationship out, and we were growing our relationship in with him so that when his parents come to him and say this, he's kind of astonished. They haven't figured this out yet. But you notice Mary does the same thing she's done with the shepherds. Same thing she did with Simeon and Anna. What does it say? She treasured up all these things in her heart. She grew from it. And what does Jesus do? This is why I say the results are different. The timing's different. He's 12 years old. He goes back to Nazareth. He's submissive to them. The next time we see Jesus, which will be the first Sunday in Epiphany, what happens? How old is he? 30. So how many years does he spend in being submissive to his father and mother in Nazareth? 18 years. How many people feel like 18 is a long time? Every time we have a child, I keep thinking, college, 18 years. It actually goes by pretty quickly, right? For those of us who've already experienced this, yes, it goes by. But when you start, when you're just changing diapers, it seems like a long ways away. For Jesus, he was submissive to Mary. Joseph passed away shortly after, but to Mary, for 18 years. This is God incarnate. This is the one who is growing in wisdom and stature, in the fear of God, in the knowledge of God, in the wisdom of God, in the favor of God, and he is obedient to his parents for 18 years before he starts his ministry. So when we seek after godly wisdom, remember, the source is different. It's God. The results are different because it's putting us second and God and others first. Okay? And his timing is very different from our timing, but it's better. May we be like Solomon. May we make our request, trust in God, receive that wisdom from God, and may we also receive even more. Because the amazing thing about Solomon is what happens with Solomon? Not only does he get what he prayed for, he's able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, but he gets all the other things he didn't pray for. May we be so blessed as we seek godly wisdom in the year of our Lord 2016. Amen.